Hello, my name's Chelsea Comlo, and I'm at the University of Boulder, the University of Colorado at Boulder, and I'll be presenting today with Dr. Kimberly Bender, who's at the University of Denver. And we'd also like to acknowledge Dr. David Polio, who's in the audience today. And so today we'll be speaking on gender-specific factors associated with trauma and PTSD among street youth, and we'll be speaking on the importance of transience. Okay, I guess we have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so before we first start talking about trauma and PTSD among homeless youth, we have to talk about the risk of victimization among homeless youth. And so when we talk about when youth become homeless, we ask first, why do they become homeless? Why do they actually leave their homes and choose to go to the street? And so we have to first look at victimization in the home. And we see in a study by Whitbeck and Simmons in 1990 that 75% of homeless youth report having been abused by their families, which becomes a major causation of running away. So we see that youth actually experience great victimization in their home, which makes them see living in the street as a better choice rather than living in their homes. And then we also see that over 83% of homeless youth report exposure to at least one form of victimization while living on the street. So we can see that victimization occurs in both the home and in the street. And what that causes is vulnerability from prior victimization, which intensifies future trauma exposure. And so what this results in is a cycle of trauma. And in Thompson 2005, she notes that vulnerability from previous abuse intensifies subsequent effects of trauma within homeless youth. So we can see that having been exposed to trauma, youth experience inadequate recovery and inadequate treatment, which then results in a higher risk for post-traumatic stress disorder. And post-traumatic stress disorder is symptoms of numbness, re-experiencing the event, avoidance of stimuli, and increased arousal. So the purpose of this study is to examine correlates of trauma and PTSD among homeless youth. And this has actually been looked at before in the literature. And we can see that substance abuse has been documented as a correlate with PTSD and trauma in homeless youth. But we don't actually know whether this is a cause or causation of trauma. So in Johnson, Whitbeck, and Hoyt in 2005, 40% of youth meeting criteria for substance abuse also met criteria for PTSD. But this could also, substances could also be used as a self-medication in order to numb or repress emotion that is associated with trauma. In addition, mental health could be a correlate for trauma and PTSD. General population studies show individuals with mood disorders are likely to be more exposed to violence. And also, childhood trauma may be associated with increased risk of PTSD and depression. And youth also report manic or depressive symptoms while lacking skills to manage distress. However, variables associated with homeless culture have been underrepresented in the literature. And what we mean by variables of homeless culture, we mean variables such as youth levels of transience or mobility. So this is shown to be predictive of depression in adult samples, but this has never been tested before in youth. And additionally, types of transportation. So youth may be moving around in buses or trains, and all of this may be predictive of different levels of trauma. And additionally, sleeping arrangements. So youth may be on the street or at friends' houses, and this also may result in increased or lowered levels of victimization. So we asked four research questions in this particular sample. So among homeless youth across three US cities, what is the prevalence of trauma and PTSD? What are the risk factors predicting trauma and PTSD? Are there gender differences in rates of trauma and PTSD? And are there gender-specific correlates? And so I'm going to very briefly discuss the methodology. If you have further questions, you can ask in the questions session. So data was collected across three US cities, St. Louis, LA, and Denver, and the number recruited was 146. And we recruited youth from comparable sites, such as drop-in shelters or outreach services. Youth were between 18 and 24 years of age, and they had to have spent more than 2 weeks away from home. And the instrument we used in this was a quantitative survey as well as a life history interview. And the data was analyzed in a bivariate comparison with a multinomial logistic regression, including factors significant at the bivariate level. And we used a three-group model of no trauma, trauma, and PTSD. And our dependent variables were trauma and PTSD, and for this we used the MINI. And we coded 0 no trauma, 1 trauma, 2 met PTSD criteria. And the independent variables for demographics, we used age, gender, and ethnicity. For self-esteem and self-efficacy, we used the CEST to test for this. And for substance abuse, we used the MINI as well for mental health diagnosis, which tested for depression, mania. And then for homeless culture variables, we tested for transients, living arrangements, and transportation. For transients, we measured the total number of moves. And for living arrangements, we coded 0 living with friends or family, 1 living on the street, transportation, 0 transportation with family or friends, or 1 hitchhiking in public transportation. And then for the results.
So our first research question was how prevalent trauma and PTSD is among homeless youth. And we found about 57% of youth had experienced some form of trauma. So that's a screener question that just asks them whether they've experienced something that's caused serious distress, that's caused fear or harm for them. 24% met criteria for PTSD. And these rates are somewhat similar to what's been found in the few studies that have looked at prevalence. Most of the previous studies have looked at prevalence in a very in a singular region. So this is across 3 sort of disparate geographic areas, and we're finding slightly higher PTSD rates compared to Stewart et al., which found about 18% of homeless youth had reported PTSD. In the multinomial regression, these numbers represent your odds of being in the trauma group or your odds of being in the PTSD group in comparison to a reference group of no trauma at all. And so you'll see the significance levels, very few, even though all of these predictors were significant at a bivariate level, when we put them in a multivariate model, few predicted trauma. The only significant predictor was alcohol abuse and dependence. So kids who had experienced alcohol abuse or dependence, which meant they met criteria for abuse or dependence of alcohol, were 3 times more likely to experience trauma. There were several more predictors that were significant at in the multivariate model as far as predicting PTSD. Substance use or alcohol abuse and dependence continue to be significant, making 5 youth who abuse alcohol 5.5 times more likely to experience PTSD. Mania was also predictive, so kids who met criteria for mania were nearly 6 times more likely to experience PTSD, and kids who reported higher levels of self-efficacy or a sense of control over one's life were less likely to experience PTSD. And as Chelsea covered, some of these are somewhat supportive of what's already been found in the literature, and our novel finding is that transients, which has really not been looked at much, with homeless youth was predictive of PTSD. So kids who experienced more transients were more likely to have PTSD symptoms. For every increase in move, they were twice as likely to have a PTSD criteria. So our next question, you know, in some of our qualitative research, we've heard that girls are particularly vulnerable on the streets, and our questions were, are these rates different for boys and girls, or are the correlates different for boys and girls? And we actually found the rates to be extremely similar for males and females. These bivariate analysis showed no significant difference. They had very similar levels of not experiencing trauma, of experiencing trauma, and of experiencing PTSD criteria. Where we did find differences was in the correlates of trauma and PTSD. And so this model, this results look very similar to what I showed you before, but it separates out for males and females. And I'll just point out some of the differences between genders. When it comes to that finding around alcohol abuse and dependence predicting trauma, that really was much stronger for males. So it was males who were 4 times more likely to experience trauma if they were addicted to alcohol. And for females, this number was much smaller. Now, our group of females was smaller in general than our group of males, so the significant levels were we paid a little less attention to, as the sample size could influence that significance level. But if you just look at the effects of being 4 times more likely to experience trauma versus 1.5, the effect is much larger for males. We found also differences in mania. So you can see for mania, predicting PTSD was much stronger among males again. So males who met criteria for mania were 9 times more likely to experience PTSD criteria symptoms, and females were 5 times. So it seems important for both groups, but more important for males. And then what we were really interested in is that transience finding again, and here we found that transience was more important for females. So it was the girls that were traveling more that were more at risk for PTSD, nearly 4.5 times more likely for PTSD. And for boys, it was a much smaller effect, putting them at 1.5 times more likely, greater risk for PTSD. It's criteria. So there were some limitations to this. This was a non-probability sample, which is common with street youth because they're difficult to find and difficult to create a list of. So we sampled them primarily at service settings, drop-in centers and shelters. And so it may be a certain population that we ended up connecting with. And those kids that are actually out on the street and not using services are likely to be more severe than the kids that we talked to. So the kids that we may have found by doing pure street sampling may have different rates of trauma and PTSD than what we found here. We were asking them to self-report some pretty sensitive information, so that's always concerning, although our interviewers had experience working with street youth in the past. And the direction of causality, as Chelsea had pointed out, is this all cross-sectional research. This longitudinal research is also very difficult with this population. So we're still trying to investigate which of these, whether these correlates are true predictors or perhaps consequences of trauma and PTSD. So when we think about implications, we were most interested, again, in this idea that the homeless culture could be influencing trauma and PTSD rates among this group. Our previous research has used focus group data to look at how kids move around the country and what they experience when they move. And what we're finding is every time they move to a new city or to a new state, they have to reestablish themselves. And they have to very quickly figure out where they can get resources. Where can they find food? Where is a safe place to stay? They have to establish themselves among new peer groups of homeless youth as well as homeless, more experienced adults. And it seems that in every time they reestablish themselves and are in an unfamiliar environment, they are subjecting themselves to victimization, and at a bivariate level we found that. But at a multivariate level, what we found is it's also somehow preventing them from coping or addressing that victimization in the same way. So there's something about that instability and constant movement that's resulting more in PTSD criteria. So it's not only that they're being traumatized more often, but that they're not coping well with that trauma, and they perhaps don't have the same support systems that they might have if they were a more stable, localized group where they had group friends, where they had family, and they were better connected to services. So it has a lot of implications for how we think about treating homeless youth in general, but also the more transient subpopulation of traveling kids. Other implications are related to the self-medication piece. So it was interesting to us that alcohol addiction was related to trauma and PTSD, but drug addiction was not. And we've thought a little bit about why that might be. It may be that drug addiction is something that's more common among homeless youth, regardless of their trauma and PTSD experiences, and that alcohol in particular is being used as a self-medication and a way to cope with experiences of trauma and PTSD. And the influence of mania is somewhat new. As Chelsea mentioned, mental health's been looked at, but mostly primarily related to depression. So mania is something a little bit new to be looking at further in the future. Our recommendations are to be screening and assessing kids who come into services, homeless services, regarding their trauma and PTSD experiences, to consider that in their treatment and their referral to services, and to think about addressing those transient kids who may be most at risk for these problems, whether it's a way to create more stability in their lives and connect them locally so that they do stay in one area, or whether it's considering that some kids just simply aren't going to stay put in one area and they are mobile, whether we can be creative about how we provide services to that more mobile group. And we've talked quite a bit in our collaborative of multi-site researchers about whether we can start using online services in order to screen, to connect to kids, to continue to provide services for them, even if they're going to be moving across the country. Some of those brief intervention models may be tested in an online format, or we may just be able to check in with kids once they establish services and then move on to other areas. That's all. Thank you.